I guess many of you had a chance to go to the picnic yesterday, and we thank the Lord. The weather was nice, and the food was good too. And I'm sure you all get your sunburn for the year, at least for many of you. Let's open our Bibles. As I every time I try to emphasize, bring your own Bible. Okay, bring your own Bible. I mentioned one time already when we had a chance to go to Germany and go to their churches. You know, they don't have Bibles in the whole church. If you don't bring your own, you're not going to have a Bible in front of you. Okay, we are spoiled, right? Aren't we? Okay, so let's all open our Bible to the passage for today, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, because I would like all of us to read it together. Chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Okay. Let's all read it. Got it? Okay. Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. 1, 2, 3. For I still turn out. Okay, thank you very much. I don't know how many of you like sports. Okay, maybe many of the young, when you are young, you probably love it. But I've been sort of following the professional basketball playoffs a little bit. I normally don't watch the regular season because they don't really play for real until they have the playoffs. But the last few games were all decided by almost the last, very last shot. Okay, by what either one of the team. So what happened? You work real hard, you work hard, and you play hard. And the last minute, last second, not the last minute, someone make the shot, and your team lost. Okay? And you know, when you read all the sports writers, they are always wondering how the losing team would respond to such a devastating defeat. Okay? Adversity, you know, says a lot about the person's character. Adversity, when things don't go right, tells a lot about the person that is facing that adversity. Today we are going to read the passage we just read. It's written by Apostle Paul, who was called especially by God to be a missionary, to go to different places, and to spread the good gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's very strange, because when you read about his life, nothing ever went right. Nothing ever went right. He went there to one city, and people didn't like him, so he ran to another city, and the people didn't like him either, and put him in jail, and so on and so forth. He was supposed to be the representative of the greatest God in the universe. And yet, people treated him like dirt. The book, the letter to the Philippians, you know, was written when Paul was put in jail. We never really exactly know what time he was in jail, but he was in jail quite a few times. He was in jail. Suppose you are going to be, God called you to be a, you know, try to preach the gospel to your students and to your friends and so on and so forth. And the school principal didn't like it and put you into detention. What would you do? How would you think of what would you respond to such a change of events? You know, what? How would Paul handle when things don't go right? Turns out, Paul said, I got nothing else to do now that I'm in jail, you know? So he spent all his time figuring how to write some of the most famous treatises in theology, ever written by anybody. The book of Romans was written when he was in jail. the book of Philippians was written also when he was in jail. And in the book of Philippians, you would hear some of the most exciting phrases or sentences that Paul ever wrote in his life. I'll read you a couple of them. Chapter 1, verses 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The verse we have not read, which is following the passage we've just read. That's one of them. And another one that is what I want to read you is in chapter 3, verse 8. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You know, these are some of the really famous sayings, and you know, that I know of Christians that put their life goal as this verse that they're going to live through. You know, the book of Philippians is written very differently from some of the other books that Paul wrote. Philippi is the first city, the first church that when he went to Europe, he established. And there, he was very close to the people, to the saints at the church of Philippi. And so when he was in a missionary journey, the people in the church of Philippi gave him financial support. And when he was in jail, they would send a person to help him. And when he was in jail, to serve him. So he has such a close relationship. And when you read the book of Philippians, you find something very, very interesting. Paul, in many ways, used himself as an example. Paul, in many cases, used himself as an example. Without fear of people saying, wow, look at how this proud person is. He will keep using himself as an example. He's telling how good he is. No, he never felt that. He was like, you know, we are friends. We are just chatting with his friends. So these are some of the backgrounds as we read the passage we just read. I want to read you from the New King James Version, because I want to go especially one particular word. It says, for I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. This whole verse is focused on one concept. He said, my life is only worth living if Christ be magnified in me. If only Christ be magnified in me. Now, as I was telling you, Paul was in jail. Paul was in jail. And he was asking his people in the church of Philippi to pray for him. You know what he said? He said, I am confident that because of your prayers, because and the supply of the Holy Spirit, that I will be set free. That I know when I ask you guys to pray for me, you will. And your prayer will be answered by God because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then I'll be set free. I don't know how many of you have ever been asked to pray for somebody else. Pray for somebody else. We just mentioned that Pastor Jean and Paige are going onto a missionary journey, right? We don't know what's going to happen to him. We pray that everything good would happen. But you never know, okay? And the question I'm going to ask all of you is, how many of you would be willing to pray for them, you know, on a regular basis, maybe every day, you know, just when you meditate before God, pray for them. Pray that God would use them mightily to spread the word, to reach those orphans, to reach the people that are in need. Last year, when Pastor Jean and Dan went to, the same boat cruise, I was a little bit unhappy with this congregation, because they actually have set up a blog. Many of you probably know what a blog is, right? The older ones probably don't, but younger ones certainly do. and we don't use, at that time, I don't think they have Twitters. But I don't get a lot, I get onto it, look at the travel log, okay? But I don't see a lot of our members sending them greetings. Okay, I don't see many of us saying, "Oh, you know, don't worry, we are praying for you, you know, go do it, and we are behind you every 100%. Try to do it differently this time, okay? Promise me, all of you guys? I know you guys are good with computers, you know, you probably spend hours every day on computer games. And before you log on to any games, okay, log on to that travel log and send them just a note saying, we love you, we pray for you, you know, we are behind you. So count on us. Let us know what happens. Okay? So Paul, in his case, was very confident that the people that he's asking to pray for would uphold their side of the bargain to support him, to pray for him. Okay? Another thing that Paul said is that, I, because of my supply of the Holy Spirit, that will supply me, give me the need, supply me every day, strengthen me. Okay? So the first thing Paul was confident because there are a bunch of Christians at Philippi praying for him. The second thing he is confident about was because he is close to the Holy Spirit. His relationship with the Holy Spirit is very close. Okay, daily he comes to the Holy Spirit. Remember, at the Philippi, he was also put in jail. Paul in jail, just real tight. Everywhere he goes, he would go into jail. And he was there, and what did he do? In the middle of the night, anybody remember? He and his companion also got thrown in jail. He and Silas would sing praises to God in the middle of the night and woke up all the other inmates, probably. But everybody listened. And a great miracle happened as they sing praises to God in the middle of the night. That is because they are very close. Paul understood this is the Holy Spirit's desire that he would go through all this suffering to demonstrate Jesus Christ. Okay. So the second thing I want to tell you is that as a Christian, should be close to the Holy Spirit. And there's a third thing that I want to tell you. Paul, in this verse, said, my hope and expectation is that in nothing I'll be ashamed. You know, the last one, the tick, 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 the noisy song that woke everybody up. Had the same verse. Remember, I'm sure you probably pick it for granted. That in all things, I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed for any reason. You know, I was using the professional basketball as an analogy, right? Remember? If you were the, you know, big shot player and the coach said, you know, Derek, you're going to take the last shot, okay? Okay, you dribble your ball and wait till the clock winds down to a second and then you shoot. If the ball goes in, you'll be the hero, right? Yeah. What happened if it doesn't? You bow your head and then in the locker room, all your teammates will walk by you, won't even talk to you, okay? And you'll be so ashamed. In life, Paul said, I pray to God that I'll not be ashamed in anything I do with life. You know, how many of you can think of your what happens in you in a day or so, you know, all the things you said, all the things you do. Can you really honestly say that I have spent this whole day and there's nothing at the end of the day that I have done or said that I'm ashamed of it. Okay. He is talking about being ashamed as a Christian now. Okay. Would you be so intimidated by your boss or by your coworker by your fellow students that you are ashamed to read your Bible during lunchtime Have you ever done that? You know, we all take lunches, you know, we're all at work and we get an hour break. And I know of Christians that would, you know, spend 1 hour, open up the Bible and eat lunch and read the Bible at the same time. Now, other people may walk by, but at least what you are doing, you may not be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? That means you are demonstrating that you are a Christian. You are telling them. You are not ashamed of letting other people know that you follow Jesus Christ. You are not ashamed to let that... Well, other people will probably, you know, I was just talk about spending the lunchtime talking about the game last night. Okay? Except around here, there are no games last night. The Nationals are not worth talking about. And then, you know, there's no good sports team. And the hockey team also disappeared. So you have to wait till the Redskins come back. But anyway, people spend the lunchtime talking about sports, talking about, maybe the American Idol upset. Yeah, okay. I'm curious about what's happened to the British talent. Something happening tonight? Okay, who's going to win? But anyway, people spend their time talking about what are important to them. What do we as Christians talk about? The things that are important to us. Paul said there are three things in his life. Number one, the prayer of the other Christians. Number two, the communication of the Holy Spirit. Number three, his own effort. These three are important in the way that Paul lives. Okay? We depend on other people's prayer. We depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us. And then we have to have our own efforts. So Paul's expectation, praying that, I pray that nothing would happen to me so that I'll be ashamed. Okay? So think about this. Now, why is Paul going through all of this? What's the purpose of sharing all this with him? With all of us? Because Paul is now reaching to his goal and said, in Philippians, he said, there's nothing in my life that I'm ashamed of. Okay, he said, I learned how to now live in poverty and learn how to reach in richness and how to live in plenty and how to live in need. He said, in all things, I learned the secret, and the secret is being content in any way, in every way. When you can live like this, you can say that there's nothing I can be ashamed of. And he mentioned one thing, and then in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, he said, the last one, he conclusions, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. One of the most quoted verses in the Bible. I can do everything through him who has given me the strength. When you read the story of Paul, ever wonder, you know, I always think about Paul and say, wow, how can he achieve so much for the Lord? Well, he wrote letters, he went places, he established churches, he anointed elders, he does everything in such a short span, not many years. How could he achieve that? He said, Paul's secret was the next one. He said, Paul has only one aim. There's only one goal for his. He has only one thing that he wanted to do very well. You know, let's go back to sports events. You know, when you look at those basketball players, they don't do anything. You know, they probably don't go to church either. But anyway, that's beside the point. They would live basketball. They would think basketball. They would walk basketball. They would talk basketball. When they go to bed, they're thinking about basketball. When we were young, when we were a lot younger, like probably your age right now, we were very attracted by automobiles, cars, you know? And at that time, we remember every single model of cars. And just by looking at the back rear end of the car, we recognize the different model makes have different shades of the taillights and different fins. And there were times that we would go to the very tall building, go on top, and looking down at the cars that are driving by, and we could just name all the models as they drive by, you know? Oh, this is a Chrysler. Oh, that's an Oldsmobile. You know, that's a Ford. Whatever. You know, we're so fascinated by something that we remember everything there's to remember about something. Paul, in some sense, says, I don't remember anything else. I don't know of anything else except one thing, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he said, all I wanted to know is Christ, and that Christ be magnified in my body. Now you may wonder how does that all work out? What does he mean by magnifying his body? The last week, you know, I was working the sort of the aerospace industry. Okay, so I was very interested in space. What happened last week? Anybody remember in space? Pretty exciting. The servicing mission to the space telescope, right? Anybody remember that? Okay. The space telescope was 15 years old, and it's getting old, so, you know. So NASA sent out a few astronauts. By the way, the shuttle is still having trouble landing. They sent out, and then what did they do? They replaced the batteries, okay, to give them new power. They replaced the cameras, so that they can see clearer into eternity. And they also replaced the gyroscope. Anybody know what that is? The gyroscope allows you to point to the right direction. Point to the right direction. You know, I was watching. Wow. Somebody didn't like what I just said. I would just get to thinking. You know, when we believe in Jesus Christ, the same thing happened to us. Our batteries got replaced, you know. We have a new source of power, and that's the Holy Spirit. A gyroscope got replaced. It tells me now, I know exactly, point to my life into the right direction. And then my cameras get replaced. Now I can clearly see into eternity. Whereas before I cannot do it. But now, with this change, even though outwardly I still look the same, you know, the telescope still looks the same, you know, and so on. The size hasn't changed. Nothing outwardly has changed. But inwardly, that's a totally new telescope. In our lives, when we believe in Jesus Christ, outwardly, I may still look the same. My hair is still white, and I can't turn it black anymore. I still this short, you know. I always wanted to be taller, but that's never happened, okay? And, you know, God said, don't even bother to pray about this, because I'm not going to listen. Nothing has changed outwardly, but inside, there's a totally new being. Inside, now can understand what eternity means. Now I can see Christ clearly. Now I can know what it means to live our life. The purpose of the space telescope, there's only one purpose. You know, let us see. Now, not originally, if I use naked eyes, all I see is a tiny little light in the sky. But through the telescope, you can see the beauty, the magnificence of God's creation. We are like a telescope. God is no longer here, right? I mean, God cannot be seen. Jesus is no longer here. When I go and preach the gospel to somebody else, someone many times, okay, she said, show me your God and I'll believe. Show me Jesus Christ and I can believe. There's no Jesus Christ to be shown. Except what? Except if people see you, you are the one, you and I, and everybody, all the people sitting here, are like a magnifying glass, like a telescope. Through us, an instrument that they can see Jesus Christ. Through us, that they can touch Jesus Christ. Through us, they can feel Jesus Christ. You know, in practice, you may wonder, how does that really work out? Okay, I have a little bookmark, you know, in my Bible. It's a prayer by somebody that I really treasure, that I really think represents what it means to magnify Jesus Christ. Okay? And this is a prayer I was just going to read to you. This is a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. How many of you have heard of his name? St. Francis of Assisi? Boy, the youngest set, none of you have heard of him? He's a weirdo, just like some of you. Tell you a funny story. And then I'll be under a rich story. When he was young, he was rich. His father was a rich person and merchant for cloth. So he was reasonably rich. So like many of you enjoy life, you know, live a wild life and so on and so forth. Then he met Jesus Christ and he decided to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Obviously, his dad was real mad, you know. His dad was real mad. I'm building this merchant empire, and I'm counting on you to take over the family business and so on and so forth. He said he didn't want any of that stuff. He just wanted to follow Jesus Christ. And then the father said, one day he said to him, in a city square, and a lot of people around him, he said, I'm going to sever my relationship with you as father and son. I think I told you that. I may have told you that story. Father and son. Okay, in front of everybody. So, from now on, you're no longer my son. Okay? So the son said, alright, I'm going to give you back everything that belongs to you. Including the clothing that you have given me. You know, the clothing are given by the father to the son, right? So in front of everybody, he decided to peel off his clothing. One at a time, and to the very end. Okay, yeah, that's really like, you know, shaming the family. That's in front of everybody who was doing that. So, and then the bishop at that time couldn't handle it, so he took off his robe and then wrapped rope around St. Francis' body. This is the story of this guy, St. Francis. Ever since that, he renounced all the worldly possessions, and he prayed this prayer. He says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not be so much seek to be consoled than to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. This is a prayer. If you wonder how we can magnify Jesus Christ, this is a prayer that I encourage all of you to remember. This is what it means to magnify Christ. The last word says, it is in dying that we are born into eternal life. Tomorrow we are going to celebrate, what day is that? Memorial Day, right? Remembering those give their lives so other people can keep the freedom. Okay. Jesus Christ came and died for all of us so that we can be free from sin and from suffering and from eternal bondage. It is through death, it is through dying that we are born into eternal life. Paul understood that. Apostle Paul understood that. He is saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. And as we think about how we live a Christian life, think of Paul as an example. As tomorrow, when you remember those that died for all of us, so that we can live the life we are living, also remember Christ died for all of us, that we have eternal peace and you have eternity to look forward to. So let us all live a life that we magnify the love of Jesus Christ. There are other people that are not as fortunate as we are, that other people that never really have a chance to know Christ would also know Christ. Because Christ is not going to be seen by their life. The only by their naked eyes, the only way they can see Christ is through all of us. So let us make this determination that we all live our lives so Christ would be magnified in us. So when they see us, and that people see us, see the way we talk, see the way we live, see the way we do things, that we are not ashamed, but we would demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. So let's have a word of prayer. Our Lord, I pray that as a congregation, we are able to magnify your love, to magnify your grace, and that our whole life will not be anything else but to demonstrate what a great God you are. Lord, we are so far away from that, and yet we pray as the Holy Spirit encourage us, give us strength, that we be able to live our lives and that Christ be magnified as long we live on this earth. I thank you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.